Brother Dean M. Davies currently serves as the Managing Director of the Physical Facilities Department of the Church. His responsibilities include overseeing all the processes for planning, designing, acquiring sites, disposing of sites, construction, maintenance of all church facilities worldwide. Brother Davies graduated from BYU, where he studied agricultural economics. He's done additional educational work at Stanford and at Northwestern universities. He spent his career in various aspects of real estate investment analysis, property acquisition, project development, property management, and the disposition of real property assets. Brother Davies has served the church in many capacities. He's been a mission president in the Puerto Rico San Juan Mission, stake president of the Pleasanton and Danville, California stakes, and he currently serves as a counselor in the North Salt Lake, Utah Parkway stake presidency. Brother Davies and his wife Darla are the parents of 5 children, and currently they have 13 grandchildren.
That music is absolutely inspiring, and that may be even more clear to you later on in my remarks. My dear brothers and sisters, I am very humbled to address you here in this beautiful campus of BYU, Idaho, here in Rexburg. I'm told the weather is like this pretty constantly, though. I gratefully acknowledge President Kim Clark and other university administrators and officials, and express my sincere gratitude for the kindnesses that they have extended to my wife, Darla, and I while we have been here last night and today. I'd like to especially recognize my dear friend, President Henry J. Eyring, and his wife, Kelly. President Eyring and I served in a bishopric some 13 years ago and spent meaningful time in that sacred service. At the same time, we also enjoyed many hours in a water ski boat, and I can assure you that in addition to his significant professional leadership skills, President Eyring is a very good water skier. I sincerely solicit your prayers and pray for the Spirit that what I have to say and offer will be of benefit to you and will be in keeping with Heavenly Father's will. Darla and I had the blessing of going to the beautiful Rexburg Temple early this morning. As you, many of you may know, I have the privilege of working on temples as part of my professional stewardship. There are now 146 temples announced, with 130 completed, and 16 in either site acquisition, design, or construction. And I assure you there will be more. I've come to learn as a result of my experience in working on temples that they reflect love. The love of a Heavenly Father who cares enough about His children that He has prepared the temple ordinances and instructions that are necessary for us to return to His presence. The love of living prophets who care enough about the members of the church that they provide the significant resources necessary to construct and build the temples. And of course, for me, the love of church members who, because of the love for their Father in heaven and for their family, go to temples to obtain their own ordinances and perform ordinances for those who cannot do it for themselves. President Benson shared the following. He said, "Now let me say something else to all who can worthily go to the house of the Lord. When you attend the temple and perform the ordinances that pertain to the house of the Lord, certain blessings will come to you. You will receive the spirit of Elijah, which will turn your hearts to your spouse, to your children, and to your forebears. You will love your family with a deeper love than you have loved before. Your hearts will be turned to your fathers and theirs to you. You will be endowed with power from on high, as the Lord has promised. You will receive the key of the knowledge of God. You will learn how you can be like Him. Even the power of godliness will be manifest to you. You will be doing a great service to those who have passed to the other side of the veil in order that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Such, brothers and sisters, are the blessings of the temple and of frequently attending the temple. Now, I suppose there has been much good spoken of from this pulpit and in this setting today. The testimonies, prayers, and the beautiful music all combine to align our hearts and minds with the Lord and with His Spirit. The importance of that simple and single principle of aligning with the Spirit cannot be overemphasized, for the Scriptures teach us that angels speak by the power of the Spirit, that they speak the words of Christ, and the words of Christ will tell us all things that we should do. Within our Father's blessings and gifts to us, among the greatest, if not the greatest, mortal gift is the right and privilege of participating with Him in the creation process, of providing mortal bodies that become the temples of His children's spirits. He says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the God said, we will cause them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." God gave to each of us, male and female, the power and the desire to multiply and replenish the earth. When used within the bounds the Father has set, it is a wonderful, beautiful, righteous experience. I cannot think of any personal experience more joyful or profound than when Darla and I experienced the birth of our first and then subsequent children. By the way, we have 5 children and they're all boys but 4. The pain and physical struggles of childbirth were overwhelmingly replaced by tears of love and gratitude as our children were born. I can remember holding Darla's hand after Aaron, our only son, was born. I remember the words of the attending physician who said, "Look at those shoulders," as Aaron came forth. But as is the case with most gifts and blessings, there are duties and responsibilities. Feeding, clothing, and caring for children allow for new and not yet experienced activities for both mothers and fathers. The plan of salvation provides that all of Father's children will have the opportunity to hear and learn the gospel and to choose to accept and live the gospel or to reject the gospel and not partake of eternal life, the greatest of all God's blessings. I believe that most of us here today are very familiar with the commitments and covenants we have made or will make to teach our children the gospel. But let me share today just a few, and then perhaps share with you a few practical ways that we can strengthen our children's testimonies and their desire to live the gospel, and in the process, strengthen our own faith and righteousness. Now, I recognize that many here do not yet have children, but there is valuable counsel that follows, and it will help you prepare for that time, and that can also bless you in your current relationships with family and friends. The prophet Nephi shared, "We talk of Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies, that our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins." The Savior taught His children in this land following His resurrection and during His visit, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." In the Doctrine and Covenants, greater detail is given regarding who we are and our duties to bring up our children in light and truth. And I'm reading from section 93, if you have your scriptures with you today, and I'm going to start in verse 29. "Man was also in the beginning with God. Intelligence, or the light of truth, was not created or made, neither indeed can be. All truth is independent in that sphere, in which God has placed it, to act for itself as all intelligence also. Otherwise, there is no existence. Behold, here is the agency of man, and here is the condemnation of man, because that which was from the beginning is plainly manifest unto them, and they receive not the light. And every man whose spirit receiveth not the light is under condemnation, for man is spirit. The elements are eternal, and spirit and element inseparably connected receive a fullness of joy. And when separated, man cannot receive a fullness of joy. The elements are the tabernacle of God. Yea, man is the tabernacle of God, even temples. And whatsoever temple is defiled, God shall destroy that temple. The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. Light and truth forsake that evil one. Every spirit of man was innocent in the beginning, and God, having redeemed man from the fall, men became again, in their infant state, innocent before God. And that wicked one cometh and taketh away light and truth through disobedience from the children of men, and because of the tradition of their fathers. And then he says again, but I have commanded you to bring up your children in light and truth. May we, after what has been said, agree that we have a responsibility to teach our children of Jesus Christ and of his role as Savior and Redeemer, that they may, through faith in him and repentance, become clean and return to our Father's presence. If we accept that as a divine duty and appointment, then we can begin to address the question of how we can strengthen our children's faith and testimony in Jesus Christ. I believe we can strengthen our children's testimony of Christ by talking of Christ, by preaching of Christ or teaching of Christ, by writing of Christ, by praying of and to Christ, by testifying of Christ, and by keeping the commandments of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, mothers and fathers, you know this, they're in the very best position to influence children with respect to the gospel. Children are fertile souls, and they are highly receptive, with open hearts and willing minds. They believe what they hear and learn at a very, very early age. They are trusting. They retain what they learn. They are pure. Talk openly of Christ to them. Speak of your personal experience and your knowledge of the plan of salvation. Share with them your understanding. Speak of how Christ and the atonement have changed your life. This can take place anywhere, at home, in the car, on a bike ride, even in the swimming pool. If parents speak of Christ, then your children will have the blessing like Enos, who, of having heard the words that are or were often spoken of, had sink deep into his heart the testimony of his father, and it became a source of strength for him. Preaching of Christ takes place in multiple formats. The most frequent is during family home evening. The Lord and his prophets have promised that if we are faithful in holding family home evenings, our families and children will be strengthened. Younger families should not be concerned that their family home evenings are not perfect. They will improve, I promise you, and they will create and strengthen testimonies. In the early years of our marriage, the church came out with a family home evening resource book called Heaven in the Home. Our children were young, and we wanted to be faithful parents, so we used the book. In that early session, I taught the lesson, hoping that our children would begin to understand. At the end of the lesson on seeking to draw closer to heaven and to have heaven in our home, I asked the question, what impedes us from having heaven in our home? Why can't we have heaven in our home? Our young son Aaron raised his hand excitedly, said, I know, I know. I said, Aaron, why can't we have heaven in our home? Because of gravity, he said. Well, Maybe that was the right answer, gravity in our lives. Many years after we started to hold Family Home Evening, I received a personal witness and testimony that our efforts, as imperfect as they were acceptable to the Lord and had the impact we desired. Preaching of Christ also takes place as we hold callings and diligently fulfill duties in the church. Our personal example is the best talk we can ever give. Helping our children give talks and learn the scriptures is another way of preaching or teaching. One night while our children were young and I was with them at bedtime, they wanted me to read or to tell them a bedtime story. In a moment that I now believe was a moment of inspiration, I told them the Rumble, Rumble story. It's the story of Christ and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee. But it was done in a way that they could participate. So I want to do it with you here today. There are three things you've got to do. I want to hear you make a wind-blowing sound. Can you do that? Go, that's pretty good. Okay, second thing is I want you to show me how the waves lash across the boat by going, okay? And the third part is, when we get to the right part, I want you to say, rumble, rumble, rumble. So here's how the story goes. Pretend you're telling your children a bedtime story. At one time, the Savior and his 12 disciples or apostles had to cross a body of water. It was called the Sea of Galilee. And to cross the Sea of Galilee, they got into a boat. So as the boat began to cross the sea, a storm came and the wind started to blow. The waves started to lash across the boat. The lightning flashed and it made a sound. Rumble, rumble, rumble. You're really good. The disciples, fearing for their lives and recognizing the torment that they were in, came to the Savior and perhaps awakened him and said to him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Whereupon he stood upon the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind stopped blowing and the waves calmed. And the lightning no longer flashed, and the rumble, rumble, rumble went away. Telling this story is still a sweet experience for us, and our children's testimonies were strengthened. By recording personal and faith-promoting experiences, we strengthen our children's testimonies as we and they return to their journals and their letters and they can re-experience the feelings that took place in their lives, in our lives. Personal letters from mothers and fathers to their children, sharing not only their love, but their faith and testimony, will help our children to feel loved, confident in themselves, and confident in the Lord. Reading my mother's letters during my first mission and my great-grandmother's stories of her faith strengthened me then and continue to strengthen me today. Why? Why is this so? Because as we grow and mature, we know that those who love and who loved us do not lie. They share the truth, and the truth speaks to our souls. As I speak of prayer, it includes family prayer, personal prayer, and prayer specifically directed at and for the benefit of others. The Savior taught, "Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." If it is not too personal, how do you think a child feels whose father or mother shares a prayer something like this? "Father, I thank thee for Aaron. He has blessed my life with his love, with his great enthusiasm for life, with his ability to read and learn. I love him, Father, because he is good and tries hard to do his best. Bless him to know of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and help him to know that he is never alone and can pray to thee every moment. Some prayers may seem to just bounce off the ceiling, while others will continually reflect off the walls of eternity, I believe. The Lord hears and answers our prayers. My father was not active in the church when I was a child. My mother was a rock. Each morning before we left for school, she invited us to kneel in prayer with her. We weren't always ready or willing, but she was unwavering in her faith and testimony. As a result, we left home physically filled with nourishment from breakfast and spiritually armed and prepared from prayer. If we have a prayer in our heart and talk to the Lord, we are open to inspiration and assistance. One time when I returned home from work, I was told I needed to speak to my daughter. You know that when things are going well, children are ours. But when there is a challenge, they can become the son or daughter of just one parent. Rebecca was 13. We had a standard in our family that our children would not go to dances until they were 14 and wouldn't date until they were 16. So there was a dance, and Rebecca said she was going. She used all of the known persuasions, such as everyone's going, even the bishop's daughter, Dad, and she's 13. I found myself quickly praying in my heart, Father, help me. What can I say or do? The impression came to me about our stake dances. In our stake at that time, there were two dances per month and usually an extra one at year's end. So I said, Rebecca, how many dances will you go to when you turn 14 and until you are 18? Let's see, two per month plus the year-end dance equals 25 dances times 5 years is 125, plus usually another three or four dances each year at school. That's about 140 dances. Wow, 140 dances. Do you think you will really miss or be hurt by missing just one? Reflectively, she said, she's startled. No, no. Then she started to consider all of the future dances. While the outcome here is important, how we arrived is even more important. And I believe it started with a prayer in a heart. May I suggest that one of the greatest tools available to mothers and fathers in their toolbox to strengthen their children's faith is their personal testimony of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I did as a father with each of our children was to seek an opportunity to have them accompany me to the hardware or other store on a Sunday, or a Saturday, not Sunday. Whoa. I want to assure you it was Saturday. When I had our children alone, just them and me in the car, there were several things that I wanted to share with them. First, I shared with them how very much I love their mother. I wanted them to know that she is the most important person on this earth to me. Then I would tell them how much I love the Lord and the gratitude I feel for him and for the atonement. Then I finished by telling them how much I love them. I witness to you that the personal testimony of a mother and father to their son or daughter will strengthen their faith and testimony and create an infinite bond of love and respect between them. This practice worked for me. Maybe it will work for you. As a final key to strengthening our children's testimony, may I offer that we keep the covenants and the commandments. The words of Jacob may help us here. I'm in Jacob chapter 2, the very last verse. He says, Behold, ye have done greater iniquities than the Lamanites, our brethren. Ye have broken the hearts of your tender wives and lost the confidence of your children because of your bad examples before them. And the sobbings of their hearts ascend up to God against you. And because of the strictness of the word of God, which cometh down against you, many hearts died, pierced with deep wounds. going to the temple, honoring priesthood callings, including home teaching, will bring the light and life of the gospel into your children and into your personal life, and it will give you revelation when working with your children. Another benefit of obedience is that when we are obedient to the ordinances and covenants of the plan of redemption, we allow Christ to define our life instead of letting many other influences define our life. I conclude this afternoon that our children are an inheritance of the Lord, and that they can and will be strengthened if we will simply try and do the things our Savior and His servants have asked. I want to thank you for your efforts to live righteously. I pray God's blessings upon you and upon all of us as we strive to live and walk in His light. I promise you humbly and in the name of Jesus Christ that if you will seek to do these things, that you and your children or future children will be strengthened. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.